Everybody say, believers,
believers
do not pray for faith. Faith is a noun. Believe is a verb. If you are believing, you are exercising faith already. And so there's no need for a believer, one who is exercising faith already, to pray for faith. The Bible does not give us that instruction. Look in Scripture, Luke chapter 17, verse 5. The Scripture says, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. But now notice he didn't say, okay, I now give you faith. They said, Lord, increase our faith. He didn't say, okay. He didn't say, here it is. What he said to you, well, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to the sycamore tree, be plucked up by the root and placed in the sea, and it would obey you. He told them what faith would do. You see, there is a way in Scripture that the Bible talks about increasing our faith. And there's a way in Scripture talks about it as we receive our faith. Faith is the gift of God, the Bible tells in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It is the gift of God. Faith is a gift from the Lord. It's not of our own works, our own merits, but something He gives us. The Bible says that we have a measure of faith. The Bible tells us we can increase our faith. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. There's a lot of things we can go through. But if you are a believer, you already have faith. Now, what I'm going to try to get across to us this morning is this, is let's stop asking. Certainly, let's stop begging. Let's stop crying and pleading with God for something. And just go ahead and receive what God's already made available to you. I mean, that's where we need to be at this morning in our lives today. I mean, as long as you're begging, you're going to keep on begging. As long as you're pleading, you're going to keep on pleading, because God is not responding to begs and pleads of believers. He's told us how to act, how to respond with the Word. Now, the thing is this. Look in the book of John. Let me show you something here. The believer, the reason the believer, or one of the reasons that the believer does not have to pray for faith and should never pray for faith, one of the reasons that the believer should never pray for faith is because of what the believer has. The believer has. Remember now, believe is a verb. It's something that's happening. Action is taking place when you are believing. Believing for the believer means the believer has. Let me show you just a few verses of Scripture that says that. In John 6 and verse 47, Scripture says, verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. He didn't say he that believes on me has to pray that one day he'll have everlasting life. No, the believer have everlasting life. Everybody say, the believer have everlasting life. Already got it. It's not, you don't pray for what you've already got. You would be insane if you did that. I mean, you know, I'm a believer and I have everlasting life. I don't pray to the Lord and say, Lord, make me know I'm Leon. I already know I'm Leon. If I'm saying, who am I to you, you know, I've got a few screws loose up there somewhere. I mean, you know, if I'm having to pray, oh God, make me know who I am, I got big time troubles. Well, the believer has everlasting life. A believer walks with what he has. He's not begging for it, trying to get it, pleading for it, hoping that one day it'll come in the sweet by and by. No, the believer already has it. When I walked into the hospital several times this week, everything looked at the signs right away, they said it's flu season. I looked away from them and said, no, it's not.
Amen.
No, it's not. Not for me, it's not. I don't receive that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It is not my season of the flu.
Amen.
Not my season for anything that Jesus died on the cross and said that I can have. Amen? Not my season for sickness and disease. Not my season for poverty and want.
Amen.
Not my season for sadness and depression.
Amen.
I don't have those seasons. Amen?
Amen?
Winter, spring, summer, and fall are the only four seasons I operate under. And the other do not exist. That's just what the world has made up. Why? Because I already have. The believer has. Now, You're there in John 6:47, back up one chapter, John 5, verse 24. In John 5, 24, it says, "Verily I say to you, he that hears my word," how many has heard the word? Say amen.
Amen.
"And believes on him that sent me." How many believes on God the Father that sent Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. "He had everlasting life." You already have it. You don't have to pray to get it. Remember, I spoke with some folks, and I'm not trying to be critical of anyone, but this particular church, and I don't know if the whole church would think like that or not, but this particular person was a Church of Christ attendant, and he just constantly would never say, and I would ask him, "Are you going to heaven when you die, or when if the Lord were to come back, would you be ready?" He said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "Well, why don't you know?" He said, "Well, I won't know until that day happens." And I said, "Well, then do you go to church?" "Yes, I do." I said, "Do you believe in the Lord?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Do you pray?" He said, "Oh, yes." "Do you read the scripture?" "Yes." And he did. He was a very religious person, but didn't have a clue if he was saved or not. Well, the scripture says right here that the believer, the person who hears the word, believes on him, sending, has everlasting life. You can know you got it. I mean, you know what? There's things in your life. I mean, how many have ever ate a meal before? We're going to eat lunch in a little bit. You've ate before, right? And how many, after you eat, you know you ate?
Yeah.
How many ate a little bit more than you should have eaten, and after you got to eat, you really knew you ate? I mean, wow, and they big-sized you real quick right there. You knew you ate. Well, you know what? You're not going to be something not knowing.
Amen.
The believer has everlasting life. That's twice we've read that. Go to Mark. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, in verse 22. Mark 11, verse 22. Scripture says, "Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God." Go ahead and exercise your faith in God. Go ahead and have it. He didn't say beg for it, cry for it, scream for it, jump up and down for it. He just said, go ahead and have it. You see, you just need to make some decisions in your life. I'm just going to go ahead and believe God. I'm just going to go ahead and trust God that what God has said in His Word is true and is so, and I'm going to live and act like it's true and so in my life, and just walk it on out. Anything outside of that, it's all up to God, you know? And He always honors His Word and always honors His covenant. But as for you, you just need to make that decision that you're going to have the faith of God. Now, in verse 23, "For verily I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe." There's that thing again there, "shall believe. That those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have." There's that again. The believer has. The believer has. The believer will have whatsoever he says. He almost restates it, verse 24. "Therefore I say to you, what things will you desire, you pray, believe, you receive them, and you shall have them." Believing is having. Everybody say believing,
believing
is having.
Having.
The believer has. And so when it comes to situations in your life, you're not trying to get something. You're just going to try to receive what's already been sent to you. What's already been made available to you. God has made available to us tremendous blessings in life. Wonderful things that God's already done for us. We don't have to try to get them from Him or make Him decide one day that maybe He just might want to bless us. Or we say to the Lord, you know, and people say, and I understand people's terminology, and believe me, when folks are sick in body and health, I understand that. Been there a few times like that in my life, and I know that. Know what happened. I have sympathy, I have compassion, I pity, all those things. I really do. But when folks talk about I'm trying to get healed, I wish the Lord would just come and heal me. Just missed the boat. He's already come and healed you. It happened 2,000 years ago. He's already come and saved you. It happened 2,000 years ago. But yet still, believers sometimes, or so-called believers, we sometimes say those words, "I'm trying to get this. One day I think, God, maybe He'll do this for me. I don't know when it might be, but I'm just waiting and expecting that one day, maybe God, out of His great mercy that He has and love for me, that He would just come down and give me and do for me thus and so." And that's just not the walk of the believer. That is not the walk of faith. If you're waiting to receive, you're still in the area of hope. You're not in the area of faith. And it is faith that receives. Now, God has already given us the blessings. Another reason we don't pray for faith, look at Ephesians. Wow, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. How many believes the Word of God? Say amen.
Amen.
I mean, just let's let it saturate you. Let it flood in your heart and your spirit and just wash away everything in there that's not according to the Word of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Well, why do we cry out, Lord, bless us? He's already blessed you. We are blessed. Everybody say, I'm blessed. I don't have to cry and scream, oh God, would you just bless me? No, we're not under old covenant. We're in a new covenant. We're already blessed. I mean, you know, no disrespect, and I honor God. I do. I spend time in different kinds of prayer, and I honor the Lord in prayer and praise and worship and so many things in my life. But, you know, when I've been places, went on an airplane or something like that, on an airplane, or maybe get the car and Sheila's driving, but, you know, I don't sit there and pray. I don't get in the car and pray, oh God, give me a safe trip. Now, I don't think you can go to hell for praying, God, give me a safe trip. But I know anywhere I go is going to be a safe trip. Any plane I fly on is going to be a safe plane. I am blessed. Everybody say, I'm blessed. I don't pray, Lord, go with me. He's already there. He's already in me. Remember, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The Lord is on the inside of us. He's already there. You don't have to say, well, Lord, go with me this day. We don't sing, Lord, kumbaya, come by here. He's already come by here and he's staying here. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So why are you praying, oh Lord? Yeah, just if I could convince the Lord today, if he was just somewhere around here, oh God. No, he is somewhere around here. He, my goodness, the Lord is in this place. He's in your heart and your spirit. You've already been blessed. So why do I have to pray for faith, the Lord to bless me? Oh God, but just in the faith, I know the Lord will bless me. No, you've already been blessed. Let's go ahead and act on what the Scripture says. Act like what the Bible says. You know, big bombshell here. How about this? Act like God's not a liar. How about that? Act like God tells the truth. Act like God has integrity. I mean, you know, it's not that hard. The Scripture, if we think about the blessings that we've got in our life and praying for things, I can look in the area, just in the area of healing. One example, there are many others that you could talk about. But one example, the Scripture says in Isaiah 53 verse 4, surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Everybody say, I'm healed.
I'm healed.
We are healed, the Scripture says. When I read that out of the Amplified Bible, verse 4 says, surely he had borne our grief, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, and our distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains and punishment. All those things he had, he was stricken, smitten of God. With his stripes, he was wounded with those stripes, and we are healed and made whole. Now let me ask you something. If you, me, or someone of us, if we get sick, is Jesus have to come down again and die on the cross again, be smitten, stricken of God on the cross one more time in order for you and me to get healed?
Yeah.
No. Why? Because he's what? He's already done that. He's already done that. That's already been made available. Now, the Lord willing, the Lord's blessings have been upon us, and we work and earn our living, but you know, we got a little bit, we don't keep a lot of money in the bank, do other things with it. We've got a little bit of money over in the bank. If I want to, I don't have to say, oh, bank, give me money. I don't. All I got to do is drive up to the bank and say, hey, give me my money. And if they not even open, I can drive up to the room with them. And I put my card in, and since they're videotaping, I usually say, hi, this is Leon. I'm here to make a withdrawal today. How would you like to hear this song? It's such a happy world day. Just sing to them, talk to them, and I get the money out, you know, and I'll count it like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. No, it was just 9. You know, I'd be like, you know, I'll kid them in a little mirror like that. But why can I do that? That's my money. I don't have to ask the bank for nothing. It's already mine. It's already been provided. Somebody else already put it there so it would be me available when I want to get it. Somebody else has already made available your healing so you can get it anytime you want to get it. Amen? Anytime you want to get it, just reach out. Amen? We sung a song years ago, reach out and touch the Lord as He walks by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your faintest cry. Now, that's a wonderful song. I love it. I like that. That's wonderful. That's good. But you know what? It's not just only just reach out there and touch Him and He's got to be walking by. But His Word is walking by you. His Spirit is walking by you. It's in you. It's on the inside. Go ahead and receive of Him. Amen? Go ahead and receive. Now, the Scripture says in the book of Isaiah, how do I know that's true? Well, if I read in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, says when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, He saw His wife's mother late and sick of a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. She arose and ministered them. When the evening was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed of devils. He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick. Why did He do it? Scripture says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Jesus has already taken the sickness that would be trying to come on you or trying to come on me. The disease that would be trying to come in my life, Jesus already bore it on the cross. If it had to go on somebody, it already went on Jesus at the cross. It don't need to be coming on me, and it don't need to be coming on you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord. Heard a pastor pray one time, and I know the man had a good heart. I understand the man had a good heart. But he was praying for somebody that was sick, and he said, Oh, God, if this thing has got to be on somebody, let it come on me. I thought, Lord, have mercy. You a pastor preaching the Word of God and praying a stupid prayer like that. I'm sorry. I love the man. I love him. Precious man of God, serving God in good ways. But my, what a prayer. Didn't he know that it's not have to come on him? It don't have to come on the man that's sick. Jesus already took it on him for the both of them. Amen. I understand his heart and what he's trying to say. Sometimes we say some stupid things out of a heart of whatever. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, by His stripes you were healed. So why I got to pray for faith to get healed? All I got to do is receive the healing that's already been made available for me. I don't got to pray for faith. Say, Lord, one day I'll get this, one day I'll get that. No, I'm a believer. What do believers do? They believe on what's done. It's a verb. They're acting on what is done. We're believing already on the Word of God. And the Word of God says, I'm healed. Everybody say, the Word of God says, I'm healed. And if the Word says that I'm healed, then I am in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord. I'm just going to be what the Word says I'm going to be. Amen. I'm just going to be what the Word says we ought to be. Now, look in Isaiah chapter 55. Let me give you another reason here why I don't have to pray for faith. Another reason. Look at Isaiah 55. Turn with me all the way over there. Isaiah 55. Let's see. Now, I just read you several verses of Scripture about healing that's been provided to us. And I did that so that you could see the Word and hear the Word on healing and hear the promises of God, the commands of God, and the actuality of what has already taken place in God. Now, the thing is this. That's what the Word of God says. That's what the Scripture says. The thing is this. Is that so? Is the Word of God so? Is it right? Can you count on the Word of God?
Yes.
I mean, can you believe on it with all security and all faith, not having to think to the contrary of something else might go wrong? I mean, no. It's not out there. We don't have to think that way. And I found that God moves that way. Sometimes you get into things of God and you'll just jump in. And some folks say, well, what happens if you don't? Or if it don't? Oh, I hadn't thought about that. It didn't enter my mind that it wouldn't happen. It didn't enter my heart or my spirit that God wouldn't do what He said He would do. That's just not optional. But what if God don't? No, there's no what if God don't. If there is a what if God don't, when God has said that He would, and God just for some weird old reason doesn't, so to speak, as some people might try to betray that he would do? If that were a possibility, then there is no God. There'd be no God. Because God is not a man that he should lie, the scripture says. And you catch him in one, it's not God. And you're not going to catch him in a lie because God don't lie. So in Isaiah, the confidence we can have is really based on what do you believe about the Word of God? Do you believe in this thing called integrity? Integrity. I don't know if you hear that word much today, and if you listen to some newscasts and something other, it might seem like it's a foreign word to many people. But integrity has to do with a person speaking the truth in honor and standing by that truth, never departing from it. A man or a woman of their word. If they say it, you can take it to the bank. I mean, if they have agreed in voice, in word, the agreement is there. You trust them. Why? Because they have integrity. What does integrity refer to? That they are not folks that lie and dishonor their word. They stand by it. David the psalmist said he would keep his word even if it required his own hurt. Amen. Have you ever done that? I've done that a few times in life. Well, I said I'd do it, but wow. You know what? This is probably going the wrong direction I wanted to go, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because I said that I would. Kicking, screaming all the way. But I still said that I would. And I'll do it. See, you have to have integrity. The thing is this, do you think God is a God of integrity? I mean, is God a God that will say something and stick up for what he says and continually stand on it and put it out there and bring it to pass? Well, the Bible says, you're in Isaiah, but the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, God said that he would hasten his word to perform it. The word hasten means to look over it. So I'll look over my word. I'm just going to check it line by line, you know, verse by verse, so to speak, every syllable by syllable. I'm going to check it. And I want to look over it just to make sure that it comes back. We're not going to let anything get out there that's going to have to do with lessening my integrity. And he hastens his word to perform it. And so when the Lord said, by stripes that Leon is healed, on God's side of it, he's looking over that word just to make sure that when Leon believes it and acts on it, Leon is healed. Amen? When you act on the word of God, God is hastening his word. He's looking over it to perform it. Just to make sure that when you're standing on it, you're believing on it, that it's going to come to pass. From God's side, from God's point of view, from God's resources, on the God side of things, he's taking care of every bit of it. Not a problem. Might be some folks sometimes say, you know what, are you concerned that God won't do this and stuff? No, I'm concerned some people won't sometimes, but I'm never concerned that God won't. God will do what he said he would. Amen? They had a little story with Jack Coe years ago, and Jack Coe was a great, mighty man of God, and he was a man that prayed for the sick, and he was a wild man. I mean, he was just really, really wild. Talk gruff like this. And you know what? It said someone, he got into a revival that he was having when he first started into the healing ministry. And he started in a meeting, and a pastor came, and they were preaching and sharing at night, and Jack got carried away preaching. You know, like little boy said to his daddy, was you telling the truth or you just preaching? But Jack got carried away preaching the word of God. And he told the people, you know, bless God. So he said, bless God. God's going to do miracles in this place. God's going to heal the sick. All these kind of things he began to say like that. And he just, you know, let all out there and holding nothing back. At the end of the service, the pastor came up to him and said, listen, I'll talk to you, Jack. He said, I don't know if you know what you said. He said, did you know that you said that God would do miracles in place? And Jack said, yeah, I knew I said it. And the pastor said to him, well, let me ask you something. What if he don't? And he said, what if he don't? Then you put that word out there. He said, what if he don't? Then where is our church going to be? Jack said, well, what if he does? And then where's your church going to be? The preacher said, yeah, but what if he don't? Jack said, yeah, but what if he does? Pastor said to him another time, but Jack, what if he don't do it? Jack said, but what if he does do it? concluded that service that night. I was coming back the next night. The next day, Jack is praying in prayer. He's talking to the Lord. And he said, God, I told them people that you were going to do miracles in that church. And he said, Lord, what if you don't do it? Jack Coe said that God said to him, he said, Jack, you get in there and you preach the word of God. Amen. You do what you're supposed to do, and I'll guarantee I'll do what I'm supposed to do. And that's what believing on the word of God is. You ain't got to make nothing happen. God does all the making happen. All you do is stand on the word and believe and speak and act on it in Jesus' name. Amen? Well, why? Because God is watching and looking over his word to bring it forth in your life. Look at Isaiah 55 verse 10. Isaiah 55 verse 10. If you don't have these verses memorized, if you don't have them underlined, this is two of the greatest passages in all of the Bible. Isaiah 55 verse 10, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bud. I love that. Rain makes it happen. Earth doesn't have a choice on bud. Earth doesn't have a choice on bringing forth. The rain makes it do it. It's power in the rain that makes that happen. Makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. I thank the Lord everything I got is seed and bread. I eat all I want to eat, and I need to back up. But I got some bread to eat, everybody say amen. But I got seed to sow too. Because everything I get, it's seed for the sower, it's bread to eat. Why are you sowing that seed? Well, I'm sowing it because God said to a lot of other reasons, but I know this, if I keep on sowing, I'll have some more bread to eat tomorrow too. And the next day. Seed to sow, bread to eat. That's what the rain does. It makes the earth bring forth that might happen. Well, verse 11, so shall my word be. In other words, the word's like the rain. When the word is put into the situation, it makes something happen. Because verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It's not empty. It's not vain. It's not wasted time. It doesn't do that. But it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. The word works. Everybody say the word works.
Word.
Say this. Say the word prospers.
Word prospers.
Say the word prospers.
Word.
My mind, my body, my finances, my home, my job. The word prospers. Now it don't prosper because I say it does. Or because you said it does. Because God said, I'll look over my word and hasten to perform it. I'm watching it to make sure it happens. Just as surely as it rains. What happens at your house to the lawn whenever it rains? What happens to the grass? It doesn't grow. It grows like that. What happens if it don't get any rain? What happens to it? But when the rain comes back, what happens? It comes back out again. The rain is making something happen from your house. Right in front of your eyes. You see it. And God says, my word is the same way. And really, that's also the same thing too. Right in front of your eyes, you are seeing it. You are seeing it. Right in front of your eyes, the word is just like that rain. It makes things happen in your life. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Turn me over there. 1 John chapter 3. God is a good God. I was thinking about some of this yesterday. The Lord just brought something to my mind. Till I had probably, I guess, what, a year or so ago now, but we went back, and we were married in 73, in October of 73. But the year before, in October the 12th, October 13th, on Friday night, we had our first day. And we had our first day at a blue 1971 Dodge Star. And so that car is very special to us. And we had our first day in it, we got married, we had our honeymoon in it, and we just, that was just a very, very special car to us. And I had it back then. And so along the way, we finally sold it, got another car like people do. And a couple of years ago, I was praying and asking the Lord. I said, yeah, I'd like to have another car like that. I'll get a silver car. And so I did. I began to pray for that. And over the course of probably 6 to 8 months, right there during that time, to pray for that, the Lord opened up our opportunity to get this car. It was a 1971 Dodge Dart that we didn't have. And I was thinking about that the other day and how the Lord had blessed us. I thought, that's just a prayer request. Lord, I'd ask you for something. You just gave it to me. I didn't need it. But you gave it. It did cost a lot of money. I mean, really, as far as COVID, it didn't cost much. I think probably about $11,000. But, we paid cash for it because God gave it to us. And we just bought it like that. And so, that kind of thing. And it was a great blessing to us. But the Lord asked me, yesterday, I guess it was, just talking to me. He said, you know what? He said, think about that a little bit. He said, now the car that I had before, just like that, it didn't have the extra trim on the sides on it. I said, yeah, that's right, this has got extra trim on the side. And Lord said, did the other car you have a vinyl top on it? Like you got now. I said, no, it didn't. It's got a vinyl top. And then the Lord said to me, you know, what about the seating? Aren't the seating a lot more luxurious than one you had? I said, yes, it is. He said, now what about this? The car you had before didn't even have air conditioning, did it? I said, no, it didn't. Now this one does, doesn't it? And the Lord said, now to him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. God not only answers your prayers, but he'll go above and beyond what you pray for. You begin to walk and stand on the word of God and honoring God with your life, and then praying and believing, God will do more for you than you've ever dreamed. He is a good God. He's a good God. I don't like these songs. I mean, you know, I understand people do it, but I don't like these songs that say God may not be there when you need him, but he's always on time. He's always been there when I need him. My Lord, I understand their heart when I say that, but, you know, he's always been there. I have never served a God that makes me wait to the last minute. I have. Some people say they have. You know, if you get the last minute, that's good. Go ahead and take it the last minute. But you know what? I like it when it's there weeks and days and months and years ahead of time. Amen? But that's our God. He's just got that kind of security for us. Look in the scripture, 1 John chapter 3. Why is it we don't pray for faith? In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, scripture says, beloved, what manner of God, or what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Everybody say, I'm a child of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not, because now we are the sons of God. Everybody say, now. We are the children of God right now. I don't have to pray to be it. I already am it, if you like that. I don't have to pray to be a son of God. You don't pray to be a daughter of God. If you are a believer, you already are. Now, because of this, you have a great relationship with God. You've got a great standing with God. You've got a place of authority with God. You don't think about yourself like other people. The scripture says in the book of Hebrews, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come boldly. You can walk into, and I say this with all respect, okay? But you can walk into the God's throne room of grace like you own the place. I know that might rough some of our religious feathers. But I have a son and a daughter, and they walk into our house like they own the place. I heard that amen. I heard that. They do. They act like they own the place. Well, you know what? That's just an earthly relationship. You got a God kind of relationship. Why don't you act like you just visited when you visit heaven? I hope you're not going up to the judgment seat, you know, and standing before God when your time on this earth is gone and say, I'm just visiting. Where else you going, man? Lord, you don't want to go to other place. You better not be visiting. You ought to say, hey, I'm home. This is it. I own this place. Thank you. How come you own it? Because I purchased it. How did you purchase it? With the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what bought it for me. Now I own this place. Amen. You got a standing before God. What you whining, crying, screaming for faith for? You already are. You already are. My. If one of your children came up and you said, oh, Mama, Daddy, I wish I was your child. What would you say? You're crazy. They go, oh, I wish Mama, Daddy, oh, I wish you were my Mama, Daddy. You know, all that stuff. Why would you do that with God? Oh, God, be Lord to me. Be Lord. Now go ahead and make him Lord. Because he already is Lord of your life. Make him Lord of your life. He already is the Lord. He is. Well, scripture says that we can boldly. We've got a standing before God. So I pray for faith because of that. There's a bunch of stuff to look at. But look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. The Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain in life to God and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that called us to his glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Notice verse 3, according as his divine power has given us all things. Why are we begging for all things when you already got all things? How much all things you want? You already got all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
You've already been blessed. All blessings we just read. Now it says you've already got all things. So why would I be whining, crying, and screaming, oh God, hey. Oh, you know, Lord, I had it, Lord, oh, it's a terrible life. Lord, help me. Why would I be doing that? Why? I mean, why would I be doing that when the Lord has already given me all things? When the Lord's already blessed me in heavenly places with Christ. Why? Now, look at verse 4 again. Whereby are given us exceeding great precious promises, that by these. You see, by the precious promises. Remember, a believer is acting. Believing is a verb. He's acting on the Word of God. And so, as he acts on the promises of God, he gets all things. He's already got all things. Already got that. I mean, you know what? If the Lord has spoken in your heart, and if it's covered in God's Word, and in this life, if there is a thing that you want, why don't you just lay hold of it? Why don't you just claim it? That's mine. See, that's mine. And don't let somebody else be yours. There's theirs. Get you one like it, but that's mine. That's mine. God give it to you. It's my right. What right? My right as a believer. My right as a child of God. I have an inheritance. I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus. What He gets, we get. It's ours in the kingdom of God. And so there's no reason to be out there, oh God, give me more faith, I can have more faith, I can do this. No, go ahead and just be it. The Bible says in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He didn't say the Lord is my shepherd. You know, Lord, please be my shepherd. He said He is my shepherd. He didn't say give me something so I don't want. He said, I already don't want. I have the walls. He said, He makes me lie down in green pastures, lead me by the side of still waters. He restores my soul. Oh, if God would just touch my soul. If God disturbed me a little bit. I love what Finney said years ago about revival. But it not being miraculous at all. Revival is nothing more than you and I planting a seed in our life. And we plant a seed, we all get a harvest. And you know what? You can be in an application where you can feel dead and cold and dry in your soul. And the only reason you're dead and cold and dry in your soul because you haven't been fellowshipping with God. You haven't been praying. You haven't been spending time in the Word. And you haven't been developing the spiritual life that God's given you. Amen?
Amen.
Rise up. Everybody say, rise up.
Rise up.
I mean, you know, that's just the truth of where it is at. And so, in life, you've already received. Just believe what the Bible says. Just believe what the Word of God says. I've already got it. The Lord's already done it. He's already blessed. It is an amazing thing to see God bless and see God do things in your life and just recognize, wow, some things you prayed for, and there they are. Some things you didn't even pray for, you just received. So I just opened up their hand, and there it was, and you just received. That's all you had to do. And people, you know, cry out of bombard the gates of heaven. Well, the Bible says that when Jesus went back to glory, that the gates of heaven swung open, and the King of glory came in. Amen?
Amen.
And so, you know, we don't have no brass heavens or brass. It just feels like the heavens are brass. No, it doesn't. It doesn't feel like it's brass at all. Feel like the windows of heaven, they're open. The blessings of God flowing in my life. Right?
Amen.
I don't know what heavens are. Not brass. The windows of heavens are open. I'm about to get flooded out. Say amen.
Amen.
It's raining. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
It is. The rain of the Lord. Let me close it out. Let me get to a place that we can find a place to close. There's lots of stuff. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Look in Colossians. So what do you need to do? Pray and asking for faith. No, just go ahead. Be established in the faith that you've already got. Just be established in the faith that you've already got. Now, the scripture says, how many believe this? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How many believe that? So when you hear the word of God, faith has come. Is that right? And unless you're just a reprobate and you're just not receiving it. I mean, if you're trying to honor God and, you know, a Christian, and then the word of God's coming, then you're receiving faith. Unless you do something purposely not to, that you're going to be receiving faith. Now, the scripture says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that every man has been given a measure of faith. You've already got a measure of faith. One of the greatest revelations Oral Roberts ever brought forth out of his whole lifetime of ministry was this. Faith is not something you get. Faith is something you have. It's a simple sentence. Faith is not something you get. Faith is something you have. And he was talking to believers when he said that. You already have. What are you basing on here? Romans 12:3. Every man can give a measure of faith. I got, everybody say, I got faith.
I got faith.
I got faith. Everybody say, look out, devil. I got faith. I got faith. Now, look at you in Colossians. Scripture says in Colossians chapter 2, look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him. Just begin walking out the life that God has given you in Christ Jesus. Doing what? Verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him. And what else? Established in the faith. Get established in the faith. The faith that you already have. Let it be an anchor for your soul. Let the faith that you already have be something that you call upon and works in you on a daily basis. That you're constantly living and walking by faith. And it's very easy to do in our world because this world is filled with doubters. There are doubting billboards, doubting radio, doubting television, doubting people. I mean, the system is built on doubt. And it's easy when those things, you hit those things, to either let those things do something to you, or you counteract them and you do something to them. In other words, when the sayings come out and the signs roll out and the things out there telling you it's this and telling you it's that and everything's difficult and everything's hard, then you can respond to that in your faith, being established in your faith. But wait a minute, my God is a God who will deliver me. My God is a God who will free me. My God is a God who will make a way for me. I know what the sign says. I know what the world says. I know what's going on out there. But it doesn't matter because God is greater than all of those things. How can you say that? You're established in your faith. Everybody say, I'm established.
I'm established.
Established in my faith. Bless the Lord. What the scripture says, verse 8, here's what happens to them, folks. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It is an amazing thing. Now, some people get spoiled. Some people are so spoiled they stink. Everybody say, rotten. Woo. I hate to say what I'm about to say, but I have a minister friend who, I'm not going to mention the church that he's a member of, but a member of a full gospel church. I mean, a professor in a full gospel college. And the man is walking down. Walking doubt and unbelief. The only thing he said he knew. The only thing in life he told me he knew. And this is after a lifetime of ministry. The only thing in life is just a saved. But the only thing he said he knew in life was is that he didn't know nothing. I said, after a lifetime of ministry, preaching and teaching in colleges and schools and churches, and the only thing you say you know is you don't know nothing? Wow. He's spoiled. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after tradition, men, and the rulers of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, which is ahead of all principality and power. We're complete in Christ Jesus. We're not spoiled. And so he's already, if I'm complete, let me ask you, if you are complete, how can you pray for something more like, God, give me faith? The believer already has faith. Use the faith you have. Exercise the faith you have. Operate in your faith you have. You'll see it increase. You'll see it grow. You'll see it bless. You'll see all kinds of wonderful things happening in your life. Well, all I'm trying to say is this. Think about this. Who you are in Christ Jesus. Think about who you are in the kingdom of God and what you mean to God and what God has already done in your life. Stand with me this morning.